I'm with the lovely Charlene Sayo, who makes the podcast and website Misrepresent. So basically, from what I've looked at, you're highlighting and interviewing female leaders in the arts, academia, science, politics, and more. From your website, if you don't mind me reading a quote, she says her mandate is to uncover women's history, understand women's culture, and create theory, which is totally incredible and inspiring. And I love, what a great blurb. So you're on your second season, correct?
Yeah, I am. Second season, I started last year in the winter of 2014.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Awesome. So what inspired you to start this project? And like, was there an impetus from a certain moment when you're like, I need to make this? Or like, what was the inspiring moment, or if there was one?
There were many inspiring moments. First of all, thank you for letting me be on the show.
Yeah, of course.
I think it's fantastic that it's a group. It's a show that's being led by a bunch of young women.
Yeah.
I think that's fantastic because that's definitely what I like to do. What inspired me to start Misrepresent was because I did a lot of radio in the past. I was involved with a feminist show, but I also wanted to start talking to women who didn't necessarily saw themselves as feminists, but who were doing really incredible things in their fields, whether they were scientists or artists or writers or academics, women who were really breaking ground and bringing a lot of notice to the field, but also women who were doing a myriad of different things. Like, they were either an artist and a scientist, a mother and a writer, or just women who were juggling like several different hats.
Which most women are.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. And I think that I was really inspired by that. But I really wanted to look at the women and their work and highlight also the kind of role models that they were, not just asking stock questions, which is usually what happens when you're doing media work. You tend to just ask five questions, the basics, the who, what, where, and why.
Right.
And then you don't really get to the fruit of who this person is and their work. And that's what I really wanted to do with my podcast. So I figured if I did my own show, I could make it for as long as I want and I could ask whatever question I want.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So how do you feel like you get to, as you say, the fruit of what people are, like what kind of different things do you look for or you're asking about?
That's a great question. What I really look for example, if I'm going to be interviewing an artist, I just don't want to ask, so what inspired this work? And where are you going to go? And what is your, you know, what is your favorite moment so far in your career? I really wanted to read their novels, read their thesis, watch their films, and really get into the meat of the content of their work. And I think that's really more important for me anyway. That's where I feel like you could have a really deep conversation and have a lot of learning lessons.
Asking questions within the work, kind of outwards.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the best examples is I had interviewed Charmaine Nelson, who's an art historian here in Canada, the only Black art historian in the entire nation.
Amazing. I didn't know that.
Yeah, she's the only one. She's based in McGill, and her work is really interesting because she actually, the focus of her work is primarily looking at Black history through a Black feminist lens. So I thought that was really interesting to be looking at a history that's really not discussed on the day-to-day basis, but then also really using art history as a medium to really expose this history and using, like I said, a Black feminist lens to really look in terms of the Canadian landscape and how do we view Canadians, our own history, and our present and also our future as Canadians.
Great. Yeah. So it's kind of not the so, it's more of the so what of their work and what is it influencing larger, what's the larger issue at hand kind
exactly, of thing. Yeah, that's exactly what I wanted to do. I also, for example, also interviewed Jennifer Gardy, who's the sometime host of The Nature of Things on CBC. And she's extremely well known in Canadian media, but also in the scientific field. But she's also a woman that's kind of like the face of popular science right now. And so I thought that was really interesting. She's also super nerdy. And I thought that was that was a great way to also highlight that.
Can be different hats or different personalities.
Yeah, you know, to be scientists, you don't have to just stay in a lab and do boring research if that's what people assume what science is.
Right.
But you could also be somebody who you know, spreads the word of science and can also bring people in to understand what science is and how does it affect our day-to-day life. And I think Jennifer Gardy is an example of that. And she's also has been exemplary in terms of trying to bring up the issues of women in science as well.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say, is like, that's, I really like that you're showcasing those kinds of people, because I feel like women are sort of not sort of invited as much to those kinds of math and science. And that's really cool that you're able to say, look at these women doing it. It's really fun. They're having a great time and they're amazing, you know?
Yeah, it is. I love science. I mean, I'm not a scientist, but I...
Yeah, totally.
But I love reading science. I think it's really, really fun. I wish that I had somebody like Jennifer Gardy when I was younger who could explain, you know, molecules and dirt in a really fun way. And maybe I would have been a scientist. But one of my other fun interviews that I did was with Crystal Dilworth, who's a scientist in the United States. But what I found really interesting about her is that she looks at brains. So she's a neuroscientist, but she's also a ballet dancer.
Whoa!
Yeah, and a violinist, and as well as a nationally ranking Olympic gymnast.
So, oh my goodness.
Exactly. And she hosts a popular show on YouTube as well. So she's a myriad of different things. And I think that those are the kind of women I also want to showcase.
Is totally.
That you just don't have to do one thing. You can do several things, and you shouldn't limit yourself.
Like people, yeah, that's totally an inspiration. And
yeah.
I know I went to London abroad 1 year, and one of my professors was the most incredible woman. She obviously had her PhD. I was studying anthropology at the time, so she had done field work. She knew like 8 languages. She had 2 kids. She was a professor. She had her medical degree as well.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was just like, I love when you meet people like that.
Yeah.
Because you can just say, well, if she can do it, I can do it.
Exactly. You know? And I think that, you know, women still are being limited in so many ways, especially in their career. They can only really specialize in one thing, or they're not really encouraged to do a whole bunch of different things, and they have to be specialists in one field only. And I don't really believe in that. I feel like women should really go out and do as many things as they can in their lifetime. And there's so many women that are doing that aren't being highlighted or who aren't being talked about.
Yeah.
And I really want to do that.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah.
Well, that's like really meaningful. I think that's very meaningful and rewarding is the word I was thinking. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Totally.
Yeah.
I was also going to ask you, so what so far, has there been anything that surprised you during the making of this podcast or something you didn't expect to happen in yourself, or something just in general you didn't expect about the women you're looking at? I don't know.
A lot of things. I didn't expect that I would actually like podcasting.
Okay.
Yeah. Because when I first started, it wasn't this thing. I didn't really have a plan. I was like, I'll just maybe interview somebody. I had a bunch of friends that I thought, you know, who are really cool. And I thought, I'll interview them maybe for one episode. I didn't know if it was going to be a weekly show, a monthly. And then I didn't really know what to do with it afterwards. It was like, I have an interview, and I don't really know what I'm going to do with it. But it was fun. After my first interview, I kept going. And then I didn't really know that I had the ability to learn a lot of things, like the technical things, like editing.
Yeah, it's time consuming, and it's almost endless as well. Like, you can always edit more somehow.
Like, I learned a lot of skills in the last 2 years. I mean, 3 years ago, I had no idea how to edit anything, like how to cut and paste or copy, like nothing. I had no idea, and I had to really learn because I was doing it on my own.
Right, and you have to learn quickly too.
Exactly.
To get the content out.
Exactly, I had to learn quickly. So I've learned a lot of skills along the way, and I guess the other surprises that people were listening or are listening.
Oh yeah, what a great feeling.
Yeah, and people were like, I had no idea that, you know, these sort of women exist. I think it's just the learning, and also the comments that people are sending. I mean, there's been some young men too who are listening, who are the fathers of young girls.
Of course.
And who said, like, you know, I really want my child to listen, my daughter to listen to your show, because you're highlighting women that I want them to be.
Of course.
And
yeah.
Yeah. So those are the surprising things. And I think just the different opportunities that have come my way as well. Being able to meet different women, and I guess the women that I've always admired being absolutely receptive.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Interesting. And it's cool because you get to sort of cross the spans of gender in that way.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, because I never really, I mean, I didn't realize it then. I mean, the majority of my listeners are still women.
Right.
But I realized that there were some young men out there, fathers, who are listening. And I think that that gives me a lot of hope and inspiration.
Yeah, I was just thinking hope. I was like, I feel so much hope for, like, humankind. Everyone should have a child or something.
Well, yeah, I think that when, you know, when there's a little girl especially, and I think that it's adults start seeing that the world is looking already at a young girl in a certain way that's really dangerous to her and to women, and period. So when you present role models or women who are saying, you could be leaders, you could be absolutely incredible, you know, artists, you could work hard and this is what's going to happen. And you could also really devote a lot of your time to raising the profile of women and really raising sisterhood, and your life will be fuller and your life will have meaning.
Yeah, it's almost like you have these women that other women can look to in a, I love the word sisterhood. That was such, that's definitely, it's a romantic word that I really connect to as well, just because I think there is a larger sisterhood, and not to say there isn't a larger humanity, but I think there's a special bond between, I know that me and other ladies that I've been in contact with, and that's just like a special, such a special moment that you can even have with your interviewees.
Yeah, well, for me it's really important because I'm sure that as a woman involved in media, there's the Bechdel test,
right?
Where, yeah, where I think one of the requirements is that I think, like, if you're going to score high on this test, that looks in terms of women and media representation and cultural representation, it's supposed to have, you know, women featuring women, women with names, so they're not like with the real names, so they have an identity.
Right. Talking to other women,
talking to other women, and then the conversation between the women
can't be about a man. Men.
Yeah, and so I think that, like, I love that, and I think that when women talk about, you know, their work, their passions, why they're doing what they're doing, it's so much fuller.
It's humanizing.
It is extremely humanizing. And then I think it also really expands the expectations that women, you know, we're not always thinking about, especially if you're a straight woman, you're not always thinking about marriage and men entirely.
No.
Yeah. and I do find that it's such a fulfilling conversation, and you learn so much more about each other, and also the world of women and the culture of women as well, which is a lot more complex than I think people even realize.
No, totally. Yeah. And then when you're able to listen to these interviews or see that these women exist, you're able to sort of expand your own horizons in your own mind. Yeah. That's kind of the best part about your podcast and website to me, is that it's like, wow, now, like, once you see someone like you, you can say, oh, I can do that, or I want to meet more women like that, and I'm going to surround myself with people who are working hard and doing that. And, you know, you're not asking these women, like, what their weight loss regime is, you know?
And a lot of them aren't really thinking about that.
No,
that's the
funniest
thing. It's, you know, when you watch these interviews, say, like, at the Oscars.
Exactly. It's like, where'd you get your nails done?
Where'd you get your, or who, you know, what dress are you wearing? Or, you know, how long did it take you to prepare? It's almost like these women are, you know, these are working women.
They're
with
artists.
Passions.
They're artists. They're, like, actresses being, like, they're some artistry. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and a lot of them have, you know, they also have families, they have bigger passions, they have things that they want to achieve, and they know that the clock is ticking. So, you know, I think that women want to be asked very serious questions, especially about their work. And I want to ask serious questions about their work as well. I think that that's, you could really appreciate a person if you're really involved with what they're doing and you're really interested. And I'm not interested in asking questions that are, you know, the usual stock questions. I really want to know, you know, the impetus of their work, the thesis, what did they learn and what keeps them going? And also, how did they get to this point where they can be brave to keep on going? And so every single woman that I've interviewed has had some sort of struggle. And so I've learned so much from them as well.
Wow, that's amazing. Cool.
The only downside that I've learned is that it's, The downside of doing this is that having regular, ordinary conversations, like banter, seems very boring to me now. I've surrounded myself weekly with women who are incredibly intelligent, and you know, they teach me so much about the world and you know, their life and what they're doing, that it's challenging for me to just have like a banter,
chit chat. Your friends aren't solving cancer, and
it's
trailblazing. Something.
Yeah, that's the only challenging thing. It makes me a little bit impatient. I should be more patient, but it's.
I know what you mean, though. Once you start having really good conversations with someone, it's addictive.
Yeah.
I think, because all of a sudden you want to be searching, you want to be exploring stuff constantly.
Yeah.
I think even just coming to university as well, I've definitely felt like that, where I'm like, let's explore this idea. What about this? You know.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
Definitely. And that's, it's an upside. It's also a downside as well. And I think that I also see more of the challenges as also how to raise, I guess, like the conversation also among women that isn't just about clothes and,
dating,
and relationships.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. And that I hope that women can also, you know, that women can really go beyond that, even on a day-to-day basis, that they can also start to think and reflect of their own life, because I think that there are times that women still really do buy into the fact that this is all that they can do when there's such a world out there to conquer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I've noticed as I've gotten older, those kind of conversations have diminished within my friend group. And not to say, like, and obviously having relationships isn't, you know, wrong or bad or anyway, or like, you know, everyone wants intimacy and companionship. But I think I've just noticed that we all just have a lot of different stuff going on, and we're starting to really lock and load in terms of, okay, I need to figure out who I am, what I want to do, what's going to get me excited. And usually boys are like the last part of the conversation. You know? Like, oh, are you seeing that person? Yeah, we're seeing. Okay, bye.
yeah, that's usually it. And I think that that's really what, you know, my guests are. I mean, many of them are married. Many of them have kids.
Yeah, totally.
But central to their life is really what they love. And they have many loves and passions. And a lot of it is either their art, their politics, their feminism, their writing careers, their music, their dancing. So, yeah.
Right. It's about somewhere finding something that's going to be fulfilling outside of human connections, necessarily.
Exactly. Or it's even just like understanding their place in the world as well. And how do they, you know, what kind of legacy are they going to leave behind? Which I think that's also really the terrain I'd like to explore as well, is looking at women's culture and what do you leave behind, and what kind of world do we want to see, where women are playing a huge active role in it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, wait, that's totally zooming out and getting to see the larger picture.
Yeah.
I was also going to ask you, I guess you've sort of touched on this, but so how do you feel like this podcast has changed you, or like, has it changed you, maybe how you see the world, or I don't know, you sort of answered some of these things, but is there anything else you'd like to expand on? Or
Like I said, the podcast has changed me in the sense that, like, I think that I've also learned my own abilities and skills, and it's also inspired me to go further. Like I said, when I first started, I also thought, like, oh, I'll just interview my friends who are doing incredibly cool things.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, maybe I'll just do, you know, Canadian women, but now I just feel like I could go around the world.
Anything. Yeah.
Yeah. And then in terms of the skills, like I said, I didn't know how to edit. I didn't know how to do anything technically.
Right.
So it's also given me the confidence to just keep on going, that you can learn these things and they're not absolutely impossible. And I've also learned that the world is huge. It's enormous, you know?
There's more to see.
There's a lot more to see, and that there's always things, like, women are always doing things all the time. And so it's changed me in terms of even my own
philosophy, or
my own abilities, and also what I would like to do with women, and how do I build relationships with women that are deeper, and how do I also support women.
Very important.
Yeah. And then I think one of the other things I'm also learning is documenting women's stories. So I mean, a person who doesn't know what I'm doing, who maybe just glances at my podcast, will just think, oh, it's just somebody, it's just a woman who's talking to other women about art. Well, it's more than just that. It's also really talking about how women are documenting their own accomplishments and the accomplishments of other women, and also leaving behind like a record of women's activities, which I think when you look at the span of like human history, it's still lacking. You know, like, we don't know what a lot of women were doing 500 years ago. We know what kings are doing and the conquests that they were doing. But we know very little what women were doing on a day-to-day basis. And so I think that in this way, I'm also trying to document the activities that women are doing. And that's a lot more important than people even realize. If you think like 1,000 years from now, if young women want to see what women are doing in the year 2015, I hope that they could find... They could use my podcast, my recordings, as a way to also uncover history and to understand more about women's culture and women's culture and history as well.
Totally. Yeah. That even reminded me of, you know, there are some scientific discoveries that they have found out were actually like completed by women, and they never got the credit for it. And they're just going back now and saying, you know, actually, she was a huge part of this, and she was, you know, so it's even stuff like that, maybe.
It is. And it's, well, one of the new things I included this year for the second season is that I started this portion of the podcast called Women Hurrying History.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's about a 5-minute segment where I look at different women in history. Some are dead, some are living, but women who I think were making a mark.
Totally.
So one of the latest Women Hurrying History segment I did was looking at Mary Ann Shadd, who was a Black abolitionist leader here in Canada. She was born in the States and moved to Canada, and her parents were part of the Underground Railroad.
Wow.
Yeah. But she was like one of the first women in North America to found a newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, I never heard about her. And I think it's terribly sad, especially as Canadians, because she's well known. Well, she's a Canadian. She's a Canadian and American citizen, that she was one of the first women to found and to create a newspaper that really pushed for, you know, the freedom of Blacks here in Canada. And she was also the second Black woman in America to become a lawyer.
Wow.
Yeah, so quite accomplished. And so I didn't know anything about that. And I think that that's such an important part of our records and our history as women as well.
Yeah, and it's almost as if, you know, that's not probably going to be in a history book necessarily. And you're being able to highlight that and get that in the discussion.
Exactly. Like, I never learned about her in elementary school.
No.
And I never learned about her in any of my university history courses. And when it comes to women's history here in Canada, she's, you know, hardly ever highlighted. But I think that as a woman at a time when there was so much racism, mm-hmm. not to say that racism doesn't exist now.
Yeah.
But when it was extremely violent, you had a Black woman actually doing things that no other women were, you know, very few women were doing at the time. So I think that that was incredibly important for me to highlight. So I also want to bring about women who are doing incredible things, so we don't forget them, actually.
Right. No, yeah. Totally. And what can be, you know, more important than that?
Yeah.
What do you feel like you want to do in the future? Do you have any big dreams for your podcast or things that you want to start adding to it? Or
yeah, I mean, in the next few months, I'm also developing more essays. So there'll mm-hmm. be more essays in the next few months, most likely in the new year, that's going to be presented. So I also want my website to be a resource. It's not just a place where you just listen to interviews, but it could be a place where you could also read essays and blog pieces that are also related to the big themes of women's culture history, and also related to the women that I'm interviewing as well. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the next steps. I would also like to do like more of a fundraiser in the next year as well. So I could try to hopefully maybe do this full time. It's very challenging.
Right.
Yeah. And so, but for me, it would really try to get more out there and to develop, hopefully develop, you know, more of a series, like long-term series in terms of specials, maybe looking at, you know, women in science, women in the front lines of, you know, social movements, and maybe do some radio documentaries as well. So more storytelling.
Great.
I'd like to do that in the future.
Yeah, that sounds exciting.
Yeah.
Storytelling. I love the human voice, and it's very comforting.
Yeah, exactly. And I think women are very good at that as well.
Totally.
Yeah.
Awesome. Do you have any interviews coming up that you think would be interesting, or people you want to interview really badly, and there may be like a reach, but you're going to try and make it happen?
Well, all the women I interview are interesting, and I learn so
of
much
course,
about
yeah.
them. Yeah. In the next few weeks, again, I'll be showing this comedy duo called Shrugs and Fats.
Oh,
they're absolutely hilarious, so there'll be more information about that coming out soon. And then some other Canadian artists as well. Stacey Tyrell is an artist now based in New York, but she's doing really interesting things in her photography that looks at race, class, and gender. Her work is really haunting and disturbing, but I think it's really exciting. I can't wait to highlight that. But in the future, I mean, oh my gosh, in terms of the guests that I want to reach out to, it doesn't end. I mean,
yeah.
I mean...
What would be your dream interview?
I have so many dream interviews. I mean, I would love to interview the artist and the writer, Sandra Cisneros.
Oh my gosh,
yeah.
Yes. I love her.
Yeah, she has a new book coming out, or that just came out, a book of essays, and it would just be fantastic. But she's quite reclusive, and she rarely gives out interviews. I also want to interview younger women as well. Women who are really involved in social movements. I would love to interview the Radical Monarchs down in the States. I'm not sure if you've heard of them.
I don't think I have.
They were called the Radical Brownies before, but we have here like the Brownies and the Girl Guides. But And in America, they have the Girl Scouts. But
it's like rocking Girl Scouts.
Yeah, but what they have in California, two mothers decided to start like a Girl Scouts, but primarily for women of color, young women of color. Mm. So they called them the Radical Monarchs. And so to actually have like these young girls who are the ages between of like 5 and 12 years old, and they're learning the history of social movements, and they're learning about like Angela Davis and bell hooks, and they're learning about their own histories as young women of color. So they're learning Chicana history, Black history, Asian American history. I would love to interview them.
So they're from Canada or the States?
They're in the States.
Oh, that sounds delightful.
Yeah. I would love them as well.
Yeah, that sounds exciting.
Yeah. I would just love to have like all these young women, like, you know, they're the future leaders, you know.
Exactly.
And so that would be a treat for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I look up to older women, but I also really love looking at younger girls and seeing where they're going, what world that they want to create. I also want to hear how they feel about us now, like how, like their thoughts on the world, because they're going to be shouldering a lot of the work right now. So I want to learn like what can I do as well to support them as young women. So I would love to have the Radical Monarchs. They would be such a fantastic guest on my show.
Yeah, Sandra Cisneros and the Radical Monarchs.
Yeah.
Sounds like a band name.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, those are just some of the guests I would love. Other than that, I mean, there's always women that are doing incredible things. So I have like a long list of women, and sometimes they respond, sometimes they don't.
Right.
And sometimes it's just not the right time. But I always admire them from afar.
Yeah. I had, when I was 13, I got Sandra Cisneros's book of poetry, Loose Woman.
Yeah.
And I've memorized the whole thing. It's such a good book. And, you know, I didn't even necessarily relate to some of the stuff, like the topics she was talking about. But I was just I loved that.
Yeah.
That's very, very good.
Well, she's able to really get into the intimate lives of women.
Yes, yes.
So I think that there is really that, and I hate the word universal
themes,
but she does have those universal themes that are tightly interwoven in her work. So you don't necessarily have to be a Mexican-American to appreciate her
work.
But
yeah.
you can really... I think you could really understand what she's trying to say, or you could relate to it somehow.
Right. I mean, it's the pain and it's the longing and it's kind of sort of inhabiting that space of confusion and maybe just being like, where am I going? And I don't even like this, what I'm seeing right now. I don't
know
like where I am now, but I'm going to make it through. I just got to, you know, for her, she, you know, smoke a cigarette or something and just like keep going, sleep it off.
Yeah.
Go again.
Exactly. I mean, I would, like I said, I would also love to have, I mean, one of the other guests I would love to have would be like Bell Hooks would be fantastic.
Oh, right. Yeah. I saw you wrote the essay on her.
Yeah. I mean, she would be great. I mean, so you got to aim high.
Totally. Yeah. Why not? Sky's the limit. Life's short.
Exactly. So, I mean, you know, have women like Bell Hooks, I think, has been such an inspiration to, you know, like two generations of young women activists and academics as well. So, you know, women like that have also really opened the doors for a lot of women to take the leap to go into fields that haven't been welcoming to women that are still challenging as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that sounds amazing. well, that's all the questions I have. Do you have any questions for me, part of the Women's Collective, or anything else you'd like to say about your great project?
Well, I guess like for you, I wanted to ask, you know, why did you guys want to create this Women's Collective? I mean, there's a bunch of reasons why, but, you know, why and what were the challenges that you faced?
Yeah, as well, we're still facing challenges. We're brand new.
Yeah.
And we got a grant to create the show, and it's sort of giving voice to, obviously, to women. The best thing I would say about the show is that I think it's just empowering women to be in a place where they're making a show, and that's a huge project. And you know, it's empowering to get to have an event and get to have, you know, we get to go to events and we get to report on things we like and we get to share the music we want. And it's sort of, it's making a community like within CITR and outward that can be like, here's what we're interested in, it's important, it's interesting, check in if you like it, and sort of going on from there. And that's kind of what I'm really excited about. Like, I'm also really excited about getting to sort of discuss more. My biggest thing about wanting to be on the show was I wanted to have a space where we can talk about more like nuanced feminist points, or maybe just in everyday life. I feel like in the news, at least, there's a ton of, you know, obviously wrong stuff going on. Like, this was wrong and they need to be punished. But like, there's the day to day feminist stuff that, you know, we keep picking up. I think there's things that come, I think about every year that I've never thought about that. That is kind of messed up. That's not right. We went to this, my friend and I, also on the show, Katie, we went to this Writers Fest show, and there is a panel of female writers, including Roxane Gay. And we will be talking, I think, by the time this airs, we will have already talked about it. But we're talking about women being likable and how there's a huge pressure for women to be likable. And I've heard a bunch of sort of testimonials from actresses where they're trying to get parts, or they're suggesting parts, and the director will say, well, that's not a likable character, you know. And that's such a huge issue to be like, okay, so, you know, women aren't allowed to be explored as human beings, complex, and that, you know, getting just the stock character stuff. So I don't know.
Yeah, no, I completely understand that. I think it's great. I mean, I think I totally know what you mean. I was also at the Writers Festival, but
great.
Yeah, and I wasn't at that event, but I do understand what you mean when women are forced, whether like in their work, how they present themselves, or even the work that they produce, it has to be likable. And I think the writer Zadie Smith, and also Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie had a conversation And also in separate interviews that they want to create more complex characters when it comes to women, because women aren't always likable. And I remember,
oh, absolutely not.
Yeah. And Zadie Smith, in her book NW, she was explaining in an interview that the two female protagonists, or the two main female characters, they're not very likable in a sense that they don't play the traditional mother role. Mm-hmm. In fact, one of the characters is questioning if she should be a mother or not.
Yeah.
And it was pretty funny because I think that she was getting bombarded with all these questions about, why is your character struggling with that, with those questions?
Right.
And it was just really interesting because she explored and she said, like, you know, if you ask any woman, not all women, she was like, but I think a lot of women, you know, have this expectation that they're supposed to desire this thing that...
Right. And it's a huge confusion, I think.
I think so. And so I think that I totally understand what you mean in terms mm-hmm. of women having to be likable. And even in the work that they're doing, they have to produce likable characters. So I prefer women who don't go down that road. I mean, it's nice to produce likable characters because there's very likable people in the world.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, it's basically being like everybody needs to be on the spectrum of like complex characters. Being even the most evil person has their own, like, you have to figure out what the empathy is for that and why are they thinking this and what's leading them to do this. That's like art, you know?
Yeah,
that's
or,
the essence of it.
Or women are sometimes likable in certain moments of their life and
then
sometimes they're not.
Yeah.
And it depends on the conditions that they're in as well. And so I think that, you know, when I'm doing my podcast, it's also trying to highlight the fact that women are very complex and that they can be, you know, they're not always likable. I mean, I've had difficult interviews with some of my guests. I mean, I'm not going to say who, but
yeah,
I mean, I've had
it's hard.
Yeah, it's hard. I've had difficult, you know, interviews and you know, I just have to accept that it's either they're just really busy so they don't want to do interviews or maybe they just don't care to talk about their work. They just want to do it. So or whatever
is going
on. Yeah.
That's, you know, sometimes people are less maybe outwardly social.
Yeah.
Like promoting and stuff like that.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, I think that I hope that people understand that, well, hopefully not just through my podcast, but through other mediums that, you know, in other ways that like women, that people can understand that women are very complex, complicated creatures and that you can't just box them into one thing as well. And they have so much more to contribute to the world and also to history as well.
Yeah. And I think that's what's, I'm really happy that our show is getting to collab with your show. Yeah. This is like, if anything, this is the perfect place to end because I think we've said it all and this is... We're looking at women as complex creatures.
Yeah. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks for coming out.
Oh, no, I
loved
it.
Lady Radio.
Thank you.
Okay, great. Cool. Woohoo.